I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. Sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 784, Imagination.
It took a lot to get through this movie, I'll tell you that.
That it did.
Yeah.
That it did. So before we get through this movie, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
It's me, Matthew.
And this is Tom. So, okay, let's just, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, TuneIn, iHeart, wherever you find a show. You can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. Greatly appreciated. You can also watch these episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/@theclipout.
Nope, not the clip out.
Oh, sorry. /@realspoilers. Kevin will fix that in post. Yeah. I have no doubt that will all go away. And we have new cameras.
We do. That's fancy.
Very fancy. So
very fancy.
You can see my bald head from new and exciting angles. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. It's called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you have been kind enough to share an episode. And people who were kind enough to do that last week include Librarian Cynthia, Phil Timon, Douglas Baldock, Jason McLean, Travis Tewitt, Matt Reedy, Ralph Tribble, Chris Falls, Julianne Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, Tom Dowdy, Richard Krotzer, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Dissect That Film, Heather Sachs, Taylor Ward, Brent Smith, The Kryptonian Orphan, David Rojas, Geek to Me Radio, Colby Mack, Mike and Oscar, Matt Naglia, Binge Movies, Nostalgia Cast, Ronnie Castle, Ryan Terry, and In Session Film. And then also don't forget we do have a Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers. Where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content.
It's really just me and Matt.
It's
a horror movie podcast.
And we like you more.
I do so. Like that Kevin's like, and this is what happens when I don't show up and just leave it to Joe. And I was like, and Matt. It's like, yeah. It's great.
Oh, sorry. We made a good podcast.
See, it was me.
Sorry.
It would just be all old-timey movies.
Yeah. Hey, there's a place for that.
Like, today we're talking about Charlie Chaplin.
We should make a Real Spoilers Patreon.
Oh, that's $10 a month.
Yeah. And it would just be me talking to myself because nobody would.
I got to tell you, though, there has to be. I listen to all kinds of podcasts, but I don't think maybe it's just my algorithm, but there has to be a podcast or an audience for like TCM or old time.
Oh yeah,
movies.
They're out there.
Yeah, but they don't know how to use.
Yeah,
they're recording on like an old timey like recorder that's got like the little tapes.
It's a wax cylinder. They mail it around.
No, you got to listen to this new episode.
Grandpa, you're going to love this podcast.
It'll be
what?
It's on your radio show.
You can listen to it on your Victrola.
I got to call him? No, it's on your phone. You don't.
You know what? Forget it. That's.
But no, there's actually a really big one. I forget what it's called. It's like a line from an old movie or something, but it's really big.
Interesting.
Yeah, that does very well.
There you go.
So
$10 a month, you can get Tom. Yeah.
Just me talking about Serpico for 40 minutes.
Dude, I'll talk to you about Serpico all day. That's a good movie.
So anyway, there's all that.
Oh,
let's dig in.
You know, so here's the thing.
At least nobody get mad at me this week for not liking this one.
Golly.
I didn't like Dune 2, and people lost their...
Well, I thought this week, I was like, man, you know what I want to do is just talk on some little kids acting. I thought it was me.
I'm glad you said that.
I hate to bag on child
actors. I do
actors.
Too.
Same.
And
very
I
much
will
the same.
Also say, by and large, in most major productions, child actors have gotten really good.
Yep. Yeah.
Which makes the existence of this girl in this film all the more...
And this has like the 2000s vibe kid actor thing more than it. Poor girl.
I hate to pile on a little kid, but you can't tell me that there aren't better little kids out there.
I you know, maybe it's not her fault. I do feel like maybe the director was going younger, more precocious.
Yeah, because it's very cloying.
Yeah.
And I will also say, in defense of this little girl, nobody has a good performance.
The only one that even comes close is the other daughter.
Yeah.
And
who
a lot
seems like normal.
Hinges on this little girl.
Yes. Right.
But when she's freaking out in the therapy.
Oh, that
section,
was good.
That was a little better.
Yeah.
You know, like when she's getting to do something. But yeah, all the like. Who left you down here alone, Mr. Bale?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, with actors or directors, when they start turning in, like, banger performance or banger movie after banger, you build up some clout, right? And I feel like Blumhouse was like that for a while, where it's like they built up enough clout where you're just kind of like, all right, you get one misfire, sure. No big deal, whatever. I got to tell you. They have burned their clout with me.
Yeah.
It has been, with the exception of 2018's Halloween, I Halloween Kills and Ends. I'm not going to get into it.
I was like, what do you mean 2018? Keep going.
I like those movies, but I can recognize the issues with them.
That you're wrong. You can recognize that you're wrong. I understand. Yes.
Yes, that's right. But like these little ones, these ones that aren't massive franchises, have just been bad. Every single these PG-13 horror flicks have been bad for a while, and I don't know how much longer they can get away with it.
Yeah, and I was trying to think.
I think they are getting away with it though, because it still goes back to the business model.
That's true.
They make these shares for next to nothing.
Yep.
And even if one's a mild success, they're going to do okay.
Well, you hit the Halloween franchise, and every single one of those made a boatload of money. Every single one. So that sets the table for the next 12 bad ones that you're hoping just breaks even. And, I mean, this one will probably break even. My theater was halfway full.
My theater, I saw it Thursday on the very first showing at like 6 o'clock, and my theater was very crowded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you ever, like, I start to worry that I'm getting too... pretentious or something.
Sure.
Because this movie is just like we don't believe the kid. It's a movie where you know everything 10 minutes in, and you're watching these dum-dums figure it out. But like that smile was that, right?
But
and
that
I
was
liked,
really good.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's that I'm demanding a brand new premise every time. I think I'm still okay with just like a well-made genre movie, right? Like, Smile didn't do anything like new or anything, and I thought it was
fine.
It
just did it well.
I enjoyed watching it.
Yeah.
And this is different. This is because it's bad.
Yeah. This is not well done. The acting is bad across
everything
the board.
Everything is bad. Child's Play is a good and this is that, but bad, other things.
Oh, my God. This, if, like, I would say turn it into a drinking game every time they steal from another movie, that would be a danger.
I thought there's a scene in this where I thought this was going to be a backdoor Nightmare on Elm Street something.
Yeah.
Because she picks up this piece of mail, and on the mail, it's the street address is Elm Street.
Oh,
almost cute. Positive that the town was Springwood.
Really?
It could have been Springfield, but I was like, are you telling me that there's going to be some scene where we pull out and we realize it's Nancy's house? Like, that's where they're living?
Goodness.
Because Blumhouse, you know.
So the opening scene of this movie, well, first we get the little, like, dream, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
She wakes up. She's in bed with her husband.
As soon as we open with this dream horror set piece, I was like, this is not a good sign.
Sure.
Because I was like, what this tells me, as someone who's seen a million movies at this point, is that nothing interesting happens for the first 40 minutes of this movie.
Yeah.
And they were like, we have to shoehorn in some sort of crazy, spooky action.
Yes.
So, you know,
Give them something.
Give them something to hold them over.
They do this thing, exposition type thing movies love to do, where the husband's like, oh, a bad dream again like you always have? Well, we could move to the new house from your dad that he's selling today, and we could take the girls too. Not your girls, but my girls, and because that's the situation we're in, and even the troubled one, and we could just do that now, and it's far away, and even though you have a strained relationship with them, I think it will be good in the new place. Do you want to do that?
I don't know. They haven't even finished packing up all the other stuff.
And then they move there, and then they start... So she's like, looks at that mail, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, I almost wonder if, like, a studio was like, we got to have this scene. Because, like, she looks at the mail, right? Like,
know where she's going.
But you're getting the idea of, like, there's movers and stuff. That whole first scene was, like, unnecessary.
Yeah.
And have the little clues in the next part. But it's like somebody went, hey, you got to remember, anyone that would want to see this is an idiot. So,
well, it's funny to look at this and realize that in, 2 months, we're getting almost this exact same movie.
Kid's movie.
But
how I was hoping this was going to end was that her new child's book was repurposing this experience as a light and fluffy child's movie called If.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious.
And they hand it off.
Yeah, right.
They do. I actually did get a little confused when she goes into her old room, the main character.
Jessica. Yeah.
And the daughter comes into the room and they seem to me to be meeting for the very first time. Like, you had a grandma too? Is your step?
And you live with her. I assume that you see each other on a daily basis.
You draw pictures?
Well, and I was confused because in this scene they talk about how she went to live with her grandma. Mm-hmm. But then she also talks about how all this stuff happened in this house with her dad.
Right.
But after it happened, she went to live with her grandma in the same house.
Oh, is that right?
Well, because she was talking about she drew on the walls and grandma didn't mind, right?
I don't remember them saying that grandma didn't mind.
Maybe
that they didn't mind. Like, I didn't get in trouble, so they I kept doing
it. And, like, so the dad still lived in that house, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was gone. I mean, he was
like,
at the imagination of too many children.
Yeah, and who's been paid?
What a ridiculous.
So if the dad's in an institute, then maybe grandma took over the house.
But dad doesn't go in the institute until now,
right?
Like, they're moving into the house because they put her dad into the home.
Oh.
The babysitter said your dad would sit here on the porch and just pour out your books.
That's true.
But they make it seem like also he's also been catatonic.
Yes.
Which is crazy because his build is like, I mean, he's a big guy,
he's also a
strong man. Yeah, right. Like, and I think, I don't know, 48 maybe.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, he looks younger than me.
Yeah, yeah. Right. But it's, But it is funny, like, we talk about how two
movies teen come parents out. Can grow up to be the protagonists of horror movies, too.
You're right.
That would be an interesting story.
That is a hurtful stereotype on your part.
I'm sorry.
Teen parents. It is tough when the VHS cam footage of this guy is, like, the same guy, but looks exactly, you know, Jim's going to put a little gray in his beard.
Right.
Little, you know. But, you know, I think it's Krasinski and Ryan Reynolds. And I...
Doing the kids movie.
Yeah. When it gets to the end of this and it goes full Nightmare on Elm Street, I was like, this movie would have worked. You know, I think of like Watcher in the Woods or like those kind of like next step horror flicks for kids that Disney would do every once in a while.
Oh, okay.
This would have worked as kind of if they would have just leaned into, you know, maybe like a Jumanji, like the old Jumanji or something like that. But the first
Goosebumps movie was Jack Black.
That's exactly right.
Clock in the like Walls.
All of that stuff. But I don't know that. I also looked at the director of this movie and I was like, oh.
Yeah. Kick-Ass 2.
Kick-Ass 2.
Fantasy Island.
Truth or Dare, which I did like. That one
wasn't
bad.
It was meh.
I think Truth or Dare is what
better than
that's
this.
Supposed to be, right?
Yes. Like, and then they hit you with the other, the new one. What was the one? Talk to Me. And you're like, oh, that's significantly better.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But Truth or Dare is a type of movie I really enjoy. Like just a schlock.
That Fantasy Island had moments of
that was
fun
weird.
Stuff. But that
Fantasy
was
Island was disappointing because like repurposing that IP as a horror thing, I was like, that's a good idea.
Right.
And then they completely squandered it.
Strange movie.
So the director of this was just on the King cast talking about the Bachman books. And it's hard to, you know, you listen to a podcast for a long time. Hello. And you start to like, you think you know, that you identify with the hosts, right? Yeah. When they don't have, but then they start like talking to this guy and it's like, oh, I remember seeing this movie of yours and Imaginary was so good. And it's like,
wait a second.
Like, I know he's the director, but like,
I know he's sitting right in front of you. That would be hard though.
When you assume that like that podcast is through Fangoria, so you have to believe that they're like, you're going to talk to this guy,
right?
You know, as a promotion. So I understand it, but at the same time, it's like, come on.
You can talk about their movie without telling them it was good.
Yeah,
like, just don't bring it up. Just be like, tell me about your movie. Like, oh, what about this scene? What about that? You don't have to be like, this movie was great.
That's right. When my band plays shows with other bands and they're not good, and we go like, man, you guys look like you're having fun up there.
That's the greatest, like, bless your heart. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that guitar. What is that? That's a Gibson?
Gretsch?
I love that thing, man.
You guys look, that tone. Anytime I hear tone from Matt from now on, I'll be like, you motherfucker. Look like you're having fun out there, bud.
Whenever you ask me about Real Spoilers Patreon, I'd be like, sounds like you guys had a blast this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Oh, man, that's funny. So, yeah, so we get this dream sequence where in the, you know, she's being chased by this thing hidden in the shadows that we assume is like a spider person. Wakes up, again, what Matt said.
I mean,
like,
I would argue not hidden in the shadows.
Oh, I
and
think...
the reveal of the monster is in the first scene.
Yeah, but isn't that a manifestation? It's not what it's supposed to look like, right?
I feel like there was a part where it looked
human.
Very similar to the...
Oh, the thing that she draws.
Thing at the end. The
oh, yeah.
Last time we see it.
Yeah.
The guy in the spider suit.
I know that we did Madame Web already.
Oh, man, I'll do it again, though.
So we're introduced
Wait,
to this.
There's no... They don't do spider
there
suits
are no
in
spider
that
suits
movie.
I guess that's true, yeah. We see a spider suit in that movie. It's just really bad. That Spider-Man took his inspiration from apparently. So, yeah, they move into this house, and they think things are going well. And so the girl, you know, they walk in, and like Matt said, there's art all over these walls. And I'm the trope of this stepdaughter, the teenage stepdaughter that doesn't like the stepmom.
Yeah.
Okay, 15 years old, you're full of angst. I get it. But this teenager... is unreasonable.
Yeah.
Like it, which maybe
that's
also possible.
Yeah. What the heck's going on with this teenager?
Why are you so angry all the time?
But it comes off, it's like almost like parody.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I am beginning to wonder, Have I like lost my radar for
how kids
satire?
Today behave?
No, like it happened with Megan even, where like you'd see reviews or you'd see someone say, "I didn't really like it," and then someone would be like, "No, it's intentionally campy." You saying, "Oh, this part was too silly," it's because you don't get that it's doing it on purpose.
I had made that argument about Escape from L.A.
And I'm starting to be like, well, maybe I don't. Maybe I can't do it anymore. And then I got a little more pizza brain. And I start thinking, like, what if they, like, do just enough of that
to point to
plausibility?
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Man, we were goofing around.
I said that I was on the Screen Run podcast a long time ago, and they were talking about Escape from L.A.
Yeah.
And people are just like, on this movie. And I was like, yeah, because they don't understand what Carpenter was trying to do. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, the whole thing's a joke. Like, he made that movie in 97. And it was a response to the action movie tropes that were happening in film. And the guy was like, I never thought of it like that. I was like, I'm telling you, Carpenter was always like 3 or 4 or 5 steps ahead. It's not a good movie. But that's what he was trying to do.
Well, and that is important too, right? That you can intentionally do that and still miss.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, people seem to think that's just a blanket. Nah, man, they were trying to make a bad movie, and they did. So it's a success.
Yeah, I hate when people, like, camp is different from trying to make a bad movie, like all the Sharknado stuff.
Right.
Like, or like when Riff Trax will riff on Sharknado, I'm like, but why?
Yeah.
Like, they're trying.
Low hanging fruit.
They're trying to be bad.
I don't think that first one was. I think that first one was a sci-fi movie that they were just like sharks in a tornado. Then when that one did exactly what you're saying, they're like, we're just going to keep making those. Just churning that we're going to put random people in, random people, and it's going to be cameos that B-level actors or whatever.
Yeah.
But you're right. This kid is just—it's like a parody of '80s kid stuff.
Also, when there's a plot point in this about the mom. Their mother,
the biological mother. Yeah,
where the oldest daughter, is texting with the mom and tells her where they live now, and out of nowhere, you know, the mom shows up. Unannounced, and they don't tell you what's going on other than like she's maybe had a mental break or something. But then the mom says, there's something in this house. Yeah, I have to get you out of here. And it's like, okay. So mom's kind of keyed in. Never see that character ever again.
Yeah.
Just take her out in an ambulance and we never see her again.
It's so weird.
And the reaction that Jessica has, where she's like, she is apologetic. She's like, I get it. It's your mom. I understand. And then the daughter's reaction to her, where she's like, "Fuck you!" Like, I texted her. Like, what are you gonna do about it? It's like, you just put everybody at risk. Like, you're the problem.
Yeah.
And that comes back later again when we see the cute boy next door, and she's 15. Jessica has the right reaction to this boy hitting on this girl. Where she's like, she's 15, maybe take her to the movies or whatever.
There's a couple things. I feel like scripts perhaps are not being read out loud or something.
That's what table reads are for.
Yeah, right.
She comes out and like, because he says there's a bar that doesn't check IDs.
Right.
And stepmom comes out and she's like, not going to happen. Daughter is mad about that. I get that. But when they go inside, the stepmom goes, I was just kidding. Like, no, you weren't.
Yeah.
You were being a mother.
Another part. There's the one-way vent communication in this house.
Yeah, where
they can hear the daughter talking perfectly through the vent. And then they'll just be like, she's up there talking. I don't know. And I guess she can't hear them.
Sound only travels down.
It's the opposite.
Like, heat is up, sound is down.
The dad and the stepmom in the bathroom, and he says, like, I had an imaginary friend, and he knew how to make every kind of bomb. And she says, oh, so your imaginary friend was a terrorist? And he goes, what? You never had an imaginary friend. Or say, it's just he's responding to, as if she said, I never had an imaginary friend.
Mine made bombs.
He says...
He definitely says mine used to... Mine.
Yeah, because she's like, yours was a terrorist?
Yes.
And then she goes... Or he says, what? You never had an imaginary friend? Or something that's like... That's not what she said. She commented on your imaginary friend,
Mr. Tough.
And it felt like something got cut out. Like where she would have gone, so your imaginary friend was a terrorist. That's why I'm glad I never had one. Or something like that.
Right. Sure, sure, sure.
That just if they had read that at a table, like somebody would have gone, well, that don't make any sense. Why is she saying that?
That don't sound right.
Or say it like this. If you have the line reading with a different tone for that same line of like, you know, like... You know, like you didn't have an imaginary. You know, you can read that in a way that like, because this guy's
well,
bad
too. And that's as I was saying it.
Yeah,
honestly, this guy was so bad.
Oh yeah,
I looked him up afterwards because I was like, is he the director? Like, did he just put himself in the movie? Like, I. But
he
no.
reminded me of a guy on like a CW show that was in a band.
Yeah,
with like the scarf.
Yeah,
and the stupid hat.
I was
my
like,
hair's long. So.
I don't know what kind of music you're playing, but I know you're playing it in a mega church.
Oh, I was gonna say he's in an Oasis tribute band.
Yeah, he looked so like
that
every. Yeah. Every worship band I've ever
seen
through.
He's going to
the arena. You might have an imaginary friend, but I have a friend who's not imaginary.
Except he kind of is.
He kind of is, yeah.
You should meet my imaginary friend.
I did
our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
There's a doc on Hulu about one of those churches. Damn it. But it was the one that I think like Chris Pratt was a part
of. Hillsong. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that I watched that. There's also one on HBO that I haven't watched, but like follows the same story.
Yeah.
Bonkers. The Hillsong documentary is worth a
real
watch.
Good.
Yeah.
I think it's only 4 episodes, but it is worth every episode. And watching them try to backpedal is the HBO one where the guy would like was banging it out with somebody like one of the church leaders' wives. Like it was
I just watched the Hulu one.
Oh, okay. There's
like,
one
I was like, I don't need know that I need to watch this again from a different angle.
That I don't need to see the church's response to
well, I don't think it's that.
No,
but
it's not.
But it's just two filmmakers made documentaries.
It was the
same
it's
topic.
The same as that Nexium one.
Like yeah, there's a Showtime one, which is like from the perspective of one member.
Yes.
Where the one on HBO is from like some of the people in leadership. And then like everybody's got like a Murdoch Murders documentary.
I did watch one of those.
Like Netflix has one. HBO has one. Yeah. Dateline has done it a bunch of times.
Oh, did you see the one where Casey Anthony goes, I didn't do it for
I did.
4 hours?
I did.
And I'm the whole time going, but tell me why that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just didn't do
it. I'll tell you. Didn't do it. I'm pretty sure you did, you psycho. I guess I can't say that because she was found not guilty.
I mean, they got 12 people to go like, that
maybe
make a lot of sense.
Maybe
to
it was her dad. I don't know. Yeah. So nobody likes each other in this house. That's the impression that I'm getting. And the little girl goes into the creepy ass basement and finds this bear, this dirty, dingy bear, and immediately falls in love with it. I don't know how else to describe it. And this bear is always around, and the mom, and they make it sound like the Jessica is like this inattentive mother, but it's like she also has to work. Like, why isn't this child in school? Because if she's 5, she should be in school at this point. Unless it's summer vacation.
Kids mowing the grass. Perhaps
it could be summer. Yeah. Could be summer. That's fair. And Jessica is like stuck on this. She's like a child book writer, and she's had this spider thing that this entire time, and has writer's block, and she hears Chauncey is the name of this bear, and the little girl talking, and it gives her inspiration for a new book. But that's kind of all that happens. Like nothing really happens until the girl has like a list.
Yeah.
And we should say that like something happened to Jessica when she was five, but she has no memory of anything.
But she has scars.
She has scars on her arm.
And we, of course, know that it's that she had the same imaginary friend and it's bad and it's magic.
No, we don't know that.
But we know that.
We know that.
We know that.
We absolutely know that the Chauncey Bear is the same thing that this child is now dealing with. And like it is, they do this. It's the you hear, you know, I listened to that episode of the King Cast before I saw this movie, and the way the director is describing it, and I was like, all right, like he's like, it's PG-13, but we're gonna ramp it up. We're gonna
the ring is PG-13,
also correct. There's all, but
we're gonna use our one F-bomb.
That's true.
Yeah,
yeah. And the way he was describing it, and I was like, okay. Like, you did a great job of selling that movie. I will, props to you. Because when I walked out, I was like, you mother. Like, I cannot believe.
He already used his one.
I can't. Right. Kevin will get mad at me. I'll get it. You know. So, yeah. So, like, now we see, I will say, they did have two decent jump scares. I did. So, there's.
And lots of fake ones.
Yeah.
The one time they just put in a music stab behind someone stepping into a room.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
All it was. Yes. And they just put a music stab in because they were like, we need one more.
We got to do something.
Yeah.
The one where the little girl is like, it, you know, she is up in bed or she's up, she comes into their room and they jump because they see her for the, you know, she's standing there in the doorway. But we see like the ears of the bear. Like at the base of the bed. And again, we talk about budget where it's like, we only have enough budget to move this bear maybe four times. Like, can we just make sure, you know.
But why is that a budgetary constraint? Like, just get a puppet.
Yeah, I think I made movies in high school where a bear would move around. I mean,
like, it's just a puppet.
That's all you got
to
do.
Like, and you can make it look like a puppet because it's a stuffed animal.
Right.
This is
like, you're not trying to, like, if, like, the big giant spider at the end. Okay.
Fair.
But making the bear move, like, congratulations, you've invented puppets.
If Child's Play, which is at this point is a 40-year-old movie, can make that happen,
it can be done.
Yeah. Like, technology has improved in 40 years.
Have filmmakers gotten so reliant on CGI that they've forgotten that you can just make a puppet?
That is a great question.
I mean, I know George Lucas did.
Absolutely. Right. But then they went back and fixed it, right? Like, they went in the new one, in The Force Awakens, they're like, okay. Like, we'll touch it up with CG.
Well, guys, what if I told you the bear's not even real?
What?
I will tell, like, I did... When they do that reveal,
so dumb.
I didn't think it was dumb.
It's dumb, and here's why. Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I thought I was going. So what? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, go ahead.
First off, why is this supposed to blow my mind? When,
right.
Like the friend is imaginary.
Yeah.
Two, like the way the movie presents it is like it's been Jessica the whole time projecting the bear. Right.
Okay.
And this girl has just been pretending to carry a thing around. But like, if you're going to do that, then don't show us the bear when Jessica's not in the room.
The pan down from the bed.
The very first time we see the bear.
Yeah.
Is just the little girl.
But that means that she. Oh, so I thought of it. I took it as the bear is only visible to the people that.
What I thought, that the thing it's trying to say is that they're seeing the same thing, that they're connected.
Yeah.
They can both see Chauncey.
But if that's the case, then why didn't the little girl, when the like, there is no bear, why wasn't the little girl like, yeah, there's a bear right here, what are you talking about?
Wait, when?
When you get the reveal that there's no bear, wouldn't the little girl then be like, there's a bear?
Oh, they just didn't. She just wasn't around. They just didn't do that. I mean, they just didn't show that part.
It's bad filmmaking.
There's like reveals that work and then ones where they've tricked the audience. Because they do. They pan in that bedroom scene.
You see his ears.
No. After that, because she leans over the bed, looking underneath, and the kid has her head down there, and it's scary. They all get back in bed, and then the camera pans down, and we see the bear under the bed.
Right.
But that's just for us.
Right.
If in this world, if nobody's perceiving the bear, we're not seeing through any character's eyes right. at that
we
point.
We should
we
only
no
see the bear through Jessica's POV.
Yes.
And so, like, it's not like it did a good trick on us. What am I saying?
It's like when you're
the movie tricked us.
It's like when your 8-year old tries to do a card trick.
Sure.
And you know exactly what they're doing, and then they're like,
ta da!
I tricked you.
Uh huh.
And you're like, you didn't, but.
Well, I'll let you think that you did.
I'll let you think that you did, but you really need to stop gloating now, or I'm going to scar
you
for
life. It's like if I came in here and went. I went to the gas station before I got here, and you guys were like, oh, okay. And then I went, actually, no, I didn't. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, of course we, but like, why wouldn't we have believed the bear was real? You right. told us it was.
The whole time. The whole time. The way I thought it was going to be is like, oh, this demon in this house has possessed this little girl. And I was like, okay, I could probably get on board with that idea. But then that's not the case at all. Like,
no, and what is Chauncey? So the bear, okay, right. You think, because we see the bear and then we see the goop man or whatever in the background, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I can get that this entity is like possessing the bear to get the girl.
That's where I thought we were going.
Into the web or whatever. Which also, I did it. But then then I thought, and it's like, hey, whatever, semantics. But I'm like, that's not really an imaginary friend. Like, right. Your teddy bear's not an imaginary friend.
Right.
But then the stepmom says that. She's like, well, I guess it's a stuffed animal, not really an imaginary friend, to the old lady neighbor. But the old lady neighbor, I guess, can she see it too? Because she doesn't go.
Okay, but the old lady neighbor is going to be an unreliable narrator
right.
because it will come to pass that she is trying
to get everybody back into the dream world.
Back into the imagination space.
But I don't know. It's just weird that they point that out at any point.
Yeah.
That, oh, I know it's a stuffed animal. And then it's not a stuffed animal. So Chauncey is an entity that appears as a big goopy guy that appears as a bear.
So I think it's supposed to be that the goopy guy is like the imaginary friend is like metastasized because it's mad that it's been abandoned.
And that's what the
but
old
what
lady...
is what is the bear? That's
and
him
then he's
too,
using
right?
the bear to lure in.
But then that... Okay, yes, I agree. But it's like if you're watching It, right? And you see Pennywise, and then you see a guy behind... Because, like, he's appearing as a clown.
Right, right.
And that's him. But then if you saw a goopy guy behind him, you wouldn't... You'd be like, well, those are different... things.
Sure.
Right.
But goopy guy and bear are the same guy?
I don't
Well, I will say the difference with that analogy is that Pennywise is like an organic, moving, human-like creature, where Chauncey is just a stuffed animal.
But it's not a stuffed animal.
But it's not a stuffed animal because goopy guy has taken it over and is utilizing it as a tool.
But it's...
In the same way
but
that,
it's not
like...
A
but it's, not, it's nothing.
Charlie McCarthy... Is well, he's using, I guess, the
visage.
Yeah.
Which I get, but that's what I'm saying. It's just weird to me that we're going this many layers
right.
of like,
yeah, right.
Why
right.
wouldn't he just be the bear?
Why wouldn't the bear just stay? Like, the bear is just this inanimate object that the goopy guy
sure, yeah.
gets into and says, I will use this bear.
Right.
As,
why does know? It need to be that the bear's fake? And I do think it's to show that. They are the only ones that can see it. But then why do the bear at all? Why not just be an imaginary thing? That...
A legit imaginary friend.
Yeah.
Which is what...
But I did the same thing as you of like, well, it's a stuffed animal that you're anthropomorphizing. It's not really an imaginary friend. And then it was like, am I just being a douche? Am I just like really like...
Have I reached this level?
Yeah. Like right, I'm just... Right. This just feels like being pedantic for its own sake. But then it turns out that, like, oh, I gave this movie too much credit, and they were splitting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And
right,
if
right.
Chauncey's... Okay, because, like, what's the Annabelle, right?
Yeah.
I know Annabelle's not the doll. It's a thing in the doll, moving the doll around. But why does Chauncey make a fake thing, but then make it make mad eyes sometimes when no one's looking.
That's a great point.
And why move it? Why, like, do... You know what I'm saying? Like, it, we see... Everyone's turned around or they move, and then the bear, like, does a little turn.
Right.
And
why?
You go, like, whoa, well, that would have been scary if anyone saw it. Well, it turns out nobody could have seen it anyway.
Right. Sure, sure, sure.
They did... The reaction shots of the bear were kind of funny. But I don't know if they were supposed to be.
Because there are, like... elements of this movie that I think were supposed to be funny.
I feel like
this script, this is a workable premise.
Yeah.
And they're about two drafts away from having something that could actually be dumb fun.
Yep.
And like, but it just.
No. And I mean, yeah. the whole scene at the end where the three of them go to the hotel, they see the kid talking to this bear. And I like that line where the mom's like, "You want to go to the next hotel?" Oh, the kid.
You mean Poltergeist?
That's exactly it.
Especially when they transition from standing in the street in the middle of a suburb, yep, watching their house be destroyed.
I got to tell you, the response time of that fire department
was
unbelievable.
I want to live in that neighborhood. Yeah. Like,
that house wasn't on fire for more than 2 minutes, and those guys were there. Well done.
Yeah.
But yes, like on the street,
and then
in the suburbs,
and then the hotel tag at the end. I'm like, this is just cut and pasted from Poltergeist.
Which is a great gag in Poltergeist.
Yeah,
it's a great because
we hadn't seen it before,
right?
Yeah, you can't just do it again. It's a cover of a joke.
It's funny. Yeah. I wonder if directors
it's like remember Gallagher 2?
Yeah, his brother.
Yes,
it was his brother.
Yeah,
he had licensed his older acts to his brother who looked just like him,
right?
And he would go tour as Gallagher 2. And then
it's like Krusty the Clown.
And then they got in a big fight because he started doing some of the newer stuff.
Oh,
he hadn't licensed to him.
And I'm like, he started doing the racist stuff too.
Yeah, I know. I'm just like, but the newer stuff was not as good. It's the older stuff.
You want to
keep
the older
good
stuff.
And then they got in a big fight. Yeah.
Do you think that modern? Not like Spielberg or, you know, any of those guys, but like these guys who do these kind of smaller horror flicks or just movies in general, don't even think that people are going to pick up on like the ending of Poltergeist. Like, I'm just going to do the end of Poltergeist. Oh. Like, do you think that they don't even it's not even on their mind that people have seen the movie Poltergeist a lot, like one of the best, like, you know, family-oriented horror films of all time.
But how much does it live in the current pop culture zeitgeist?
That's what I'm saying. Like, is it?
They tried to remake a few years
movie?
Ago, and it was bad. Yeah, but it's like, but like, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely one of like, I mean, it was a hit.
Yeah,
and it's a good movie.
It's
but
very good movie.
But like, I don't know that people like go back to it in the same way that they do.
Sure.
The Friday the 13th and the Nightmare on Elm Streets. And so, also like maybe he thought he changed it enough that it would be he wouldn't get called out for it. Or maybe he didn't even realize he did it.
Okay. The thing I see on TikTok now that I think is interesting, or Instagram Reels or whatever. Latest one I've seen, you've seen these people do like every chiropractor, and it'll be a guy.
Oh, sure.
And he's got a skeleton, like a Halloween skeleton, and it'll be like 1, 2, 3, and then he just like breaks his head off or something. Does all these like extreme things. And I've seen that from different people,
mm-hmm,
dozens of different people, the exact same thing. And then the comments will be like, "Love this every time I see it." But I see it and I go,
I saw five people.
This isn't, you're doing the thing. Like, that's not funny. Right.
This isn't new or creative.
Right.
Like, you just saw someone else's Instagram reel and reenacted
and just
it.
Did it. Just did it.
I will say, if you go back in time, let's say 100 years, like, that's what vaudeville was.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
And, like, these comedians would do the same routines. But now back then, you didn't have electronic media, so people were kind of relying on
a traveling roadshow.
Yeah, that it's like even if another comedian had done that routine, well, it's not like you could watch it whenever you wanted. So seeing it again, and then there's also the fun of seeing somebody else's spin on it.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I love Abbott and Costello, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Abbott and Costello, I mean, they never wrote a joke in their lives, right? Like they were like all of the things that they're doing are just classic vaudeville sketches.
Right.
If you had seen, if you had been going to a vaudeville house in 1919, you would have seen that stuff.
Did you say that because of, isn't that when, like, Who's on First was? Wasn't it in 1919? Isn't that something?
I don't remember. Oh, if, I don't remember.
The 1920s? I don't know.
I don't
know. But, like, there was a number. You know, but I would maybe argue that, like, then they're, which I'm sure they did that in their live stuff too, but then you're doing it, like, if you put a Who's on First in a video game, that's kind of like, because video games do that, right? They'll have all these, like, classic bits, and it's like, oh, but we're seeing it in this medium.
Right.
You kind of get it once. You get to do it once in the new, especially recorded
right.
media. To me, but now it seems, like I said in the comments, it seems like everyone's just kind of like, ah, oh, you're doing it too. Cool.
Yeah.
And maybe that is just a change in the way.
It is. I see that more often. I think we've even talked about this, where it's like there's homages
yeah.
that are just like,
if it works,
well done,
it's an homage.
Well done. If it's,
and if it doesn't work, yeah, it's yeah. a rip-off. You stole it.
Right. Yeah. And this one does that a lot. Again, with the Nightmare on Elm Street, or, I mean, when they go to the Dream World, I was like, I've seen this movie. Like, this yeah. is Nightmare. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
this is Nightmare 3.
It's Insidious.
Yeah.
It's Blair Witch. It's Labyrinth. Like, the when they cut to her and she's standing and facing the corner, like, that's
straight, oh, yeah, Blair, straight Witch. Up Blair Witch.
It's
Blair
like Witch. It's Labyrinth. It's I mean, it's
any of those, like, Never Ending Story.
Yeah,
it's all of that stuff.
But it doesn't feel homage-y to me, and
no.
I don't really know why. It feels
because
like it's
not good.
Yeah,
I mean, is that it though?
I really yes. do. I think if this movie had been working for you, and you'd be like, oh yeah, they're peppering
oh, nice.
This and they're
yeah.
peppering that. This is kind of fun. It's good. It's greatest hits.
House of a Thousand Corpses, not a movie I love. But I think it's an homage to Texas Chainsaw Man. I think,
oh, without question.
I think he has a love for that movie.
Yep.
And that's what he was doing. This doesn't feel like them going, I love all these movies. Let me,
let's put my own, let's
yeah.
throw all of these movies that I love into a pot.
And
I'll make
I
this
mean,
stew.
House of a Thousand Corpses is, like I said, I don't really love it, but it's doing something. So maybe that's good enough.
Right.
That it counts. But I feel like there's something.
I think there's also a difference between a bad movie and a movie that is maybe works, but not for you. Right.
Sure.
And like,
absolutely.
Like,
I just had this conversation.
Because
you're absolutely. Because
that's what Dune 2 was for me. For the people that were mad.
You didn't like Dune 2?
The people that were mad at me in the comments. Like, I even said in the episode, this is not a bad movie. It just is not my thing. It's just not working for me. But, like, I recognize that this is a stunning visual achievement.
Yeah, right.
Like, but I, it just, I
don't, it wasn't working for
me. I just don't care about anything that's
yeah.
happening on the screen right now.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes that's going to happen. And sometimes it happens with movies that are practically universally embraced. Like, maybe we should do an opposite of a deep fried tacos of, like, a movie everybody
oh, yeah.
else loves that you're just like,
I don't get it.
Like, for me, Usual Suspects was a snooze. And when they do the
okay.
thing at the end, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's cute, I guess. But I didn't care up till now.
Right.
So I really don't think I'm going to start in the last three
that's
minutes.
That's a good idea.
You know?
I like
but that like, idea. But that movie, I'm just like, I don't get it. I don't care about any of this stuff.
Yeah, there are definitely, you know, people, we talked about it on the
Big Lebowski.
There it is.
I don't get it.
The Coen brothers, where it's like people just fawn over everything they've done.
Yeah.
And
they've done a lot of things that are fawn worthy.
Absolutely.
But like they've done some things where I'm just like and again, like it's easy to point to something like Lady Killers or something that's like, you know,
a swing and a miss.
I like
Lady Killers.
But I mean, but it's definitely like a more of a minor entry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
Au revoir, right? The what was the divorce one?
Oh,
I want to say Irreconcilable Differences.
I think that is
not
what it is.
No, that's the Drew Barrymore one where she divorces her parents.
Oh, inanimate objects. I don't know. It's something
yeah,
like that.
But like, but still, it's like I. But
yeah, Clooney and Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, but yeah. like Big Lebowski, people like have a deep and abiding passion for that film, and I've watched it like four times now. Keep thinking I'm gonna figure.
Maybe
out,
it's
like,
me.
It's
Maybe
gonna
it's
click
me.
For me, and I'm like, and it just doesn't.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think that is a great call. Is that. And I think there is a difference, right, between exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's a bad movie, and then there's like, this wasn't for me.
Right.
And this is a bad movie.
This is a bad movie.
Have you ever in your life seen somebody do the M.C. Escher world, right? You got all these stairs, whoa, yeah. And not use those perspectives. The whole time, they're all just on a flat.
Sure. Right. Yeah, right.
Nobody walks upside down on the stairs or nothing.
No.
Insanity.
The closest you get is when they like open the door and they poke their head through and they're at a different angle. But other than that, the only other thing they do is like the Scooby-Doo thing where somebody walks out one door and walks into another one.
It's just nuts. I've never... Even inspired.
Even in the bad Nightmare on Elm Street one.
Yes!
You even get like them running around the stairs or whatever. Yeah, so we also meet like this the crazy neighbor who I thought was like... Initially, she was going to be, I don't know. But what we got, I was like, oh, was this supposed to be the twist that you're the bad guy?
I think
she's like, look, you went missing when you were 5. And the idea of the babysitter losing this child at 5 years old and her going down this path where she's like, I have to figure out what the fuck happened.
I thought, are we going to tie in to Unbreakable when she popped
up? Could you imagine?
I was like, are we doing this again?
But that's the thing, right? We think that she is on their side the entire time, and the last, 10 minutes of the movie, you're like, by the way.
Which,
not on our side.
Not a big deal. I think you can have that kind of a reveal that doesn't have to be earth-shattering.
Sure.
Like, where I think the Chauncey not being, or the bear not being real was supposed to be like, what the?
Like a mind blower, yeah.
But
yeah.
I think that this kind of reveal at the end is like doesn't need to be that. But I also feel like it doesn't change anything. It wouldn't matter if she was good. You know what I mean? Like if they didn't reveal this and it was just that she wanted to help him, the scissors just pop out and the door closes. Like,
right. It's not the end of the world.
And then she just gets eaten. And then can he do that?
So he does turn himself into, like, because we see that in the real world, too. Not just in the imaginary world, where he is, like, this giant. And I liked the design of this crazy-looking bear. And I was like, if you're going to tell me that this is, like, a nightmare bear, okay.
Yeah.
I can get on board with a nightmare bear. Like, that's fine. But we see him for... The scene that I think he looks the best is that scene with the teenage daughter in the bedroom. Where we see him like in the corner and he keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was like, okay, like that looks good, but you've already lost me at this point because I've been watching this for an hour and 20 minutes.
And then
minutes.
They go, well, hold on. What if we shined a bunch of lights on him and revealed that it actually looks pretty bad?
Yeah, right. It's, did you ever see Relic?
I don't know.
That's the one. It's with,
I've read the book.
Have you really?
Yeah. It kicks off, detective series, a guy named Pendergrast, and there's been like 20 of them, and Relic is the first one.
And he's played by Tom Sizemore.
Yeah, and it's like, but in the first, it's like, remember how the first episode of Columbo, like they kind of didn't realize Columbo was going to be the point of it?
Sure.
That's what Relic is.
Okay.
Like they didn't really realize how much Pendergrast would resonate with people.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, which is like a direct sequel, then at the end they catch the monster, but I guess there's another one in the sewers or something. And then in the second one, it's about... It picks up like the next day, and then it's very Pendergrast focused, and then they're like, from then on, it's just Pendergrast going on these adventures.
I'll check those out.
Yeah,
but in that movie, right? Like it's Stan Winston does the monster, the creature feature, and in the darkness, that creature looks incredible. Like you get like little flashes of things. It's definitely like a reused Predator head.
Then
you see it in the light. You're like, damn it.
This is like, it's like seeing behind the scenes photos from like Alien or something.
Yes, and you go, yeah, like, right, oh, right, right.
They're just
that,
smart.
That's so funny.
Yeah, you got to film it in a certain way.
Yeah. Well, you can tell it's one of those like, you see them at like theme parks where they're on the arm still.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then its jaws just flopping up and down. And
I remember we were on vacation. It was like, my daughter was 6. She's now 12. And we hadn't seen her in a minute. And I was like, where did she go? So I hear the TV on, so I go downstairs, and she is watching An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, no.
And then, like, it's at the transformation sequence, and she's just, like, you know, wide, freaking out. And I was like, give me the remote! And I take it, and she had a problem, like, with nightmares and stuff. And I was like, look, I'm going to show you this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, like, this is all fake. Like, all of this is not real. So I sat her down, and we watched the making of Thriller, where I was like, look, they're putting, like, it's you know, styrofoam, yeah. It's latex. None of that is real. And to this day, she was like, I did not get scared because I could see how it was made. This is the same thing where it's like, when it shines the light on it, it looks like I'm watching them. Like,
I was going to say, think of the trouble it would have saved you if you just could have showed her imaginary. Should have gone like, that's fake. I can tell.
Yeah, that's
tell.
Terrible. That's not even a thing. So yeah, they end up basically the bear gives the girl this checklist. So she has to do, something she's afraid of, something that hurts, something, a lock of hair, which I don't know where she got this perfectly. That means she had to walk up to Jessica and cut off. That was not that girl's hair. Like, Jessica definitely
remember that hair.
Yeah.
That
it was like had. The, it was like the wavy, yeah. like curls. And I was like, that means she had to like sneak up on her while she was sleeping.
That's the scariest thing in
the
movie.
That's terrifying. And so they do this checklist, and then Chauncey is going to take her to this special place. So she does it. She has the session with the therapist, which I did think it was kind of creepy. Like, I liked the setup where the camera's like facing the back of the girl's head, and I was like, well, what the hell's going to be? I could tell already. There's something on the other side of that child that either you don't want me to mm-hmm. see, or I'm going to see, or some reveal. And that's the reveal that there is no bear. The bear has never been there. They do all these flashbacks, kind of like it felt like Saw, where like right. you do all of like those garbage flashbacks and you're just like, oh my God, he was there the whole time.
See, is it a joke when she says, has she taken up any hobbies? Perhaps ventriloquism.
I think that was a
is
joke.
Is it supposed to be?
I think so.
That line came out of her mouth, and I laughed, and nobody else laughed. Yeah. I was like, oh.
It's not delivered like the therapist is telling a joke.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
So, like, it's a very funny thing, but in a movie that's not very good at being funny, so I just can't. I mean, I think you're right.
Yeah,
but
I laugh.
I'm squinting.
I laughed. And so yeah, they go. She completes the checklist.
Sorry,
no, do it.
The therapist. First of all, therapist seems totally like supernatural.
Thought that she was totally on board the yes. whole time. Like, she was like,
got another one of those. Got another.
I had a kid just like this.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, you had a different one.
And disappear. Kid,
and cut his thumb off.
Maybe several kids who have disappeared. And then I thought it was real weird, just, you know, movie stuff where she goes like, here, call this person. And then, and actually in the theater, I'm like, oh no, I got to meet a whole nother.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going
to. You just added 20 minutes to this. Yeah, thing.
It's Vincent D'Onofrio on a laptop.
Yeah. but no, that's don't
never
worry
comes
about that.
Back. Never.
Right, just cut that out. Why
is that
did they
there?
Even say that?
It's the same thing with the mom. It's the same
right.
thing with the mom.
Right.
You know? So she has a therapy session. The kid freaks out. She apologizes to Chauncey.
As well she should.
Yeah. And then they do this. I only reference this because it's like this was supposed to be some clue when Jessica goes to go see her dad. And she's talking to her dad and he's like, you're in the house, like CB, CB. And it's like, can nobody else figure out that CB means Chauncey Bear?
Yeah.
Like, nobody else is putting, like, you, your stepdaughter has called this thing Chauncey.
Yeah.
Your dad is screaming about CB.
But it starts with a ch sound. And so you don't immediately think C.
That's true. Totally.
That's how
right.
they get you.
Little girl's got to slam her hand on a nail. That's one of the checklist things.
Yeah,
you
right.
Hurt
something
yourself.
Something has to hurt.
Something that hurts. It says on the
something
checklist.
Something that hurts. Yeah.
Little girl puts the board down to slam her hand on the nail. Says to Chauncey, "You promise it won't hurt?" And then he turns the nail into a flower, or she imagines it, or whatever. And
that
no,
was, oh, that was a weird. Also, it's a dirty ass nail.
Well,
you're gonna get sick.
Yeah, Chauncey don't care.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting.
It is.
The whole point was to hurt, and then they're...
Right. So, the little girl gets taken into the imaginary world.
Why wouldn't Chauncey say, you can just scrape your wrist a little bit?
Yeah, that's
you
right.
You don't
gotta
impale
it. Yeah, on the list, she takes off her Band-Aid and puts that in the thing. And
yeah,
like,
I thought it
enough.
Wasn't gonna... when she's going down to the door, I'm like, well, it's not gonna work. Or she's gonna have to do something else to
right,
hurt herself.
Right.
But no, that was... enough.
No, that's our.
Well,
that's
and then
our
later, the physical pain isn't enough. Right. Like she's got to say something mean to somebody.
It hurt. You oh, to, no, it hurt.
Now
you to
I s- meant hurt your feelings.
Well, she said, like I think the daughter says that hurt. That hurt more to say it.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah. And I was like, no, it didn't. That's you've been. That's been sitting yeah. in there.
Yeah.
You couldn't wait to yeah. get that out.
Felt good. Yeah. Because it wasn't like, what could I say to upset her?
No,
I, like,
she had it. Think of it. Yeah.
She's like, say something mean to her.
That's what Chauncey's. Chauncey's telling
always
this,
been a piece of sh-
tells this kid to hurt himself.
The kid
and the kid starts
thumb
cutting his thumb off. Is Chauncey going, holy
God. I just gonna put your hand on a nail. Like, oh, good Lord. So they end up back. It's back into the dream world. We think that the old lady is on their side because she's with them, and she is like this dream expert. And that's what you were saying, Tom, is that the idea that Chauncey was an imaginary friend, and she says she's like over time. That imaginary friend, like Bing Bong, which right. I was
oh,
like,
boy.
Don't reference a significantly
right.
better movie.
But if you're going
repeatedly,
do yeah. it 14 times,
right.
please.
right. And I do like that even the old woman's like, no, it's not like Bing Bong.
Yeah.
Like, it's different.
There must be other Drop Dead Fred or something. Can't we
yeah.
do?
He's a psycho.
Another one? right. Like,
no, we just double down on the saddest death of a
yeah.
character right up there with Artak from, you know, yeah. the Neverending Story.
Old Yeller.
Old Yeller. Yeah, right. So, yeah, they all get into the imaginary world. And this, to me, is Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Or Insidious.
Or Insidious. All of the above. And we find out that the woman is not.
They love this world because they spend 30 minutes of the movie there.
It's crazy.
It does not end.
I don't mind the world, but it's like.
They don't really do anything.
They don't do anything.
I have decided I hate worlds. I hate, they call it the next side.
the,
they're like,
the,
what?
The further. Tonga,
the other, the over there. Shut up. And then as soon as we're in these places, I'm just like,
it's the not here.
The not here.
Know.
Yeah. The
never that was pretty
ever.
Good.
The
I
never
should,
ever.
Should write something.
You should.
Uses the not here.
Yeah.
I feel like nothing's scary. I don't even know, like, is this real? Are they physically there? I think they are in this one. I think
yeah,
they're
I think
physically
they're
there, which doesn't, I don't think, make sense to me. But it's like the red door.
Yeah.
Like, once we're in that place,
into
I'm
the,
just
once
like,
you're in the further,
bleh.
You're like, I don't care.
It's get me out of here.
It is weird, though. Like, when they go to Beetlejuice's place, you're like, oh, I kind of like it.
Well, that's fun.
Because that it's one just, works.
That's right. That's
I think
exactly
that's
right.
The thing of, like, well, everything's scary here. Like, a scary thing happening in the real I don't know when it's going to happen or
oh,
something
sure, sure,
like
sure.
that. Or, like,
this is
but then not
world.
Everything is scary there, right? Because she
well,
ends up leaving, and but not leaving, and then it's not scary, and then it turns out that they're tricking her.
And there's, like, a Matrix element here of, like, well, why? What's bad?
Yeah,
like why not just hang out?
Yeah,
you got presents everywhere,
and you get everything you want. Your
yeah.
your family loves you, and your dad's okay. And
what is the? What is it? Is it like
so
eating
I think,
her soul? Or,
well, I think that from what I have figured out, I think is that it was feeding on her imagination. Like her imagination was so spectacular that
I saw those books.
yeah. I've read plenty of children's
yeah.
books. It is on par with the medium.
Old yeah. Mary Millipede isn't going to.
No. But I think that's what it was. It's like her imagination was so spectacular that it was going to feed off of her imagination.
Like in a bad way? Or like putting a straw in the ocean? Like, is this like.
I don't know.
Is this fine? Is
right,
this going
right,
to kill
right.
her? Or is it.
I no. I don't think it's going to kill her. I don't know. Because they don't tell you.
No. And also. So then, okay, so, look, I don't need it all like spelled out 100%. But you can hit it in the head with a hockey stick in the imaginary world.
Field hockey stick.
Field hockey
sorry,
stick.
Sorry, 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 sorry.
yeah, that's true. That is true. It's, you know, the whole idea of Freddy Krueger, right, is when he's in the dream world, he's unstoppable.
Right.
But if you wake up and pull him into
yes.
the real world, he is vulnerable.
And like Freddy Krueger, I can go like through his personality, I understand that he likes to play with his victims,
correct.
Right? Like so I can buy him like scaring you for a while. But this just like also what is the imaginary world where everybody goes or is this Chauncey specific?
But that's where I was at. I was like, okay, so we're going to go and I think in if I'm not mistaken, there is an imaginary world where all of these imaginary friends are. I
that's
think.
What it looks like
yeah.
in the
yeah,
trailer.
Kind of yeah. Monsters, Inc. ish,
yeah.
right? I thought when they were going to open those doors, it was going to be imaginary friend. Again, Monsters, Inc., where you open those doors and you're looking into.
But then you have the problem of, from what I have heard from Old Lady, most of them are good.
Yes.
So
none of them are going to be, they're like, nah.
Hey, Chauncey, not again, buddy.
That's right. There's no moment where, like, the Avengers of the imaginary friends are like, hey, man, can you not do that?
And then I kind of thought, oh, well, maybe this is Chauncey, right? He's not a specific, like, physical being. It's an entity. It's a vibe.
I see.
This whole world is him. But then you can just smack him in the head or push him into some presents.
You light him on fire.
Or the whole time when they,
do you think the mom was Chauncey?
Right? It wasn't her, right? Like,
oh, you're totally right. No, it was not the real mom. Yes, you're absolutely right.
And I mean, I guess he can make fake presents and stuff too,
He can. Of course he can, because then he gives Jessica her entire different world.
Right. So we're all... But the mom... Okay. Because, Chauncey eats Old Lady.
Yes.
I think for real. I think he absolutely eats her
because they got blood under the door.
Yeah, you see blood coming out. Right. Yeah, so...
And that's what he says in the podcast.
Or am that I imagining
very... Blood. He's like... The bear is going to eat someone. You don't see it, but it's definitely implied. And I was like, okay, you can get away with that. And then they do it. And I was like, God damn it. Like, yeah, this is
it's
so
just
bad.
Silly. And, right. So that's got me going again. Like, okay, he's the bear. Chauncey is that, or at least he's one.
That's one
fairly
persona.
Physical thing that like interacts in that way. But then like, he's the mom. And they're like, let's get out of here.
And this whole sequence felt like something out of a Disney movie.
Imagination has power. Here.
Yes.
How'd you know that?
But then like they start like building their own blue door.
All the blue stuff on there.
And I was like, this feels like something out of a Disney movie.
And
like,
Chauncey, I guess, is standing there going,
hey, don't do that.
Oh, well. That would have been something. Chauncey doesn't do nothing until the end, and then they just push him into a bunch of boxes.
Uh-huh.
We'll be a big bear. Bite their heads
turn
off.
Turn into the bear. We've seen this bear. So the girls get, like we said, they find the little girl. They build their own blue door. They get out. And then we see Jessica, who we think, is reading to her dad, who seems to have come out of this thing, this nondescript mental thing that he's got going on. The dad is the British band dad is there. Everybody's happy. And like, if they want to double down on the fact that this is also in the dream world, the way the daughter's like, I guess I could be kind of difficult too, huh? And she was like, don't make it real. Like, don't make it, the daughter wouldn't say something like, that would reference everything that had happened. All you got to do is be like, I love you too, mom.
Yeah.
And then she's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, then she lifts up the young daughter, I guess, got burned by
her mom. That as the mom.
The mom
her biological
was
mom
abusive.
Burned her arm.
Which is why she's afraid of fire.
Right.
Which, interestingly, they don't ever say... Like, they did a good job with it, right? It's implied that she was burned by her mom, and that's why she's scared of fire. Everything else, they're just like...
Spoon-feeding.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I guess that's right. Jessica lifts up the girl's sleeve to see that the burn isn't there.
But why? Why didn't Chauncey... Like, that's the one thing he couldn't do?
Yeah. This bear has been so involved in this child that he didn't... That he forgot.
Oh, the burn. I forgot. Oh, man.
Damn it.
It's always something.
So now we've, Jessica's fighting off Chauncey, and then the girls pull her through a different door.
When that reveal happened, were you guys like, no way? Or were you like, oh, come on.
Which part?
The fake.
Oh, the fake out? And I was like, come on.
Well,
I'm like getting out of my chair like, all right. Oh, man.
Well, I was reacting to when she called her mom, because I was just like, I was instantly like, well, not that's real. Not good.
Yeah, right.
I was like she has a mom, even if it's mom.
Right.
Like,
I think it's okay to call your stepmom mom, but that has never been, sometimes in
how are you going to feel about calling a stepdad dad?
Well, that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And so, like, that, like she should not call Jessica mom. Jessica's not her mom.
But I do.
Like, it's not like she has been raising this. Like, look, if she came into that kid's life when she was less than a year old, that's a little different. But, like, this girl is 5-6 years old.
Yeah. But we don't know how long they've been together.
Clearly not very,
though. A
couple
weeks, I think.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's been, like, all that long.
That's true.
And so, certainly not years.
That's fair.
And so, yeah, like I...
Wait a minute. I have to believe that it has been years.
I mean, they're married.
They're married.
Although, on the new season of Love is Blind,
my God.
There is a woman in there with...
Did Courtney make you watch the show, or did you start watching it
Courtney
on your own?
Courtney don't make me do that. There is a woman who has a child, and okay. I think that is insane.
To be on a TV show?
No. Not to be on a TV show, not to be on a dating show. To be on a show where you meet a man and within a month marry him.
Yeah, that's...
And then bring him home and say, here's your stepdad.
Yeah, that is crazy. That's crazy.
That's a recipe for disaster.
Well, yeah. I mean, Netflix is like, come on.
So maybe that's what happened here.
I don't judge you because I... Do you ever watch Love After Lockup?
No.
Oh, my God. Dude, you got to go down that rabbit hole. It's been on for like 5 or 6 seasons, and their seasons, each season is about 149 episodes. It goes on and on. And it is so good. It is so trashy, but so good.
So check out me and Tom's new podcast, Pot of Love.
My God.
If we're going to do a Love After Lockup podcast, we have to have Crystal on because she loves the show,
that
too.
That is where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Love After Lockup is my jam.
Oh, that's funny. Teen Mom.
I watched Teen Mom.
I will go back and rewatch like season 1 and season 3, whichever one they bring back. Like there's season 1, which is the originals.
Yeah.
And there's season 2, it's like, I don't care about any of these people. And they bring all the OGs back for like season 3. I was like, I'm into season 3.
Oh, I mean, let's the OGs go. Are on there all the time.
Well, they are now.
And now they're like merged together as one cast. Like,
oh, are they?
Yeah, because it's like they've taken the best from seasons 1, 2, and 3.
And put them all together.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
It's almost... Beautiful. On Paramount, they have all of... Like the Real Worlds.
Yeah.
All of
them. I never
them.
Did Real World.
Oh, man. I'm in.
Yeah.
Like Real World, whatever one had Judd Winnick.
I still did Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore is also complete trash, but I'm in.
They're basically nice people.
They could be.
I think so. I like.
They're just fun loving kids.
They are. Well, they're not kids anymore.
I guess that's true. But yeah, they have all like the Road Rules, Real World, all that stuff is on Paramount. And I was like, I'm in. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Catfish, like that too.
Catfish is very good.
Great. I don't know how that show can remain interesting when it's always the same thing.
Like, by the way, not the real person.
But somehow they pull it off, man.
More interesting than this movie will ever be.
Yeah.
We find out that Jessica's dad went into the dream world, pulled Jessica out when she was 5, but locked eyes with gobbledygook.
I knew that.
Of course he did. Locked eyes with gobbledygook, and it made him... insane. Like it gave him cataracts. He looked into the imagination of a million children.
Why is that bad?
I don't know. Like his brain was so feeble that he couldn't handle the imagination of children.
Yeah.
And then I thought in this one, I was like, okay, we're going to get the same thing. It's going to happen. But this time all three of them who have, you know, Jessica has this fantastical imagination. You've got the little girl who's got they're going to overpower the thing. No. The little girl just sets him on fire and pushes him back in.
And that works.
It did work.
Kills him, I guess.
Or at least disabled him. It doesn't kill him because we see later another bear.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Why? Hold on.
Do it.
Hold on.
Do it.
Why didn't she get out? Why did it? How was she able to be tricked?
To stay in?
Yeah, I mean, she went through the door, right?
That's what I thought. That's why when they do the... And it's insane.
Well, because they sealed it back up again.
First time.
When she wakes up and she's talking to her dad in the bed and the kids, you know.
Oh,
like the fake crawl through the door. Yeah. It's just... Whatever,
Bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
That's what it is.
That's what it comes down to. And so because the kid has started this fire, of course... immediately the entire house goes up and I was like, I feel like that would be like that was fire going into a brick wall.
Yeah, right.
I don't think that would matter.
Yeah.
They walk outside and of course the fire department there.
Oh, man.
Quick.
I mean, it was instantaneous.
I think that maybe one of those firemen set that fire.
Yeah. That's so now it's also it's a backdoor sequel to Nightmare on Elm Street and Backdraft.
Whoa.
And Unbreakable.
Whoa. Give me that movie. Give me the Nightmare on Elm Street Backdraft crossover. I didn't know that I needed. So this is the Poltergeist ending where the girls are standing on the street
watching their house
let it burn,
destroyed,
which is also a line from Halloween, the 2018 Halloween. And the fire department shows up, but again that house goes up real quick.
Yeah.
The roof is caving in before anybody.
They don't need no water.
No,
they let that motherfucker burn.
That's damn right. They go to a hotel. They're gonna check in. We hear a kid talking to his mom, and they see another Chauncey Bear. And then they're like, "Do you want to go to the next hotel?"
Yeah,
which is stupid because the whole thing is that it's I mean it's a visual like shorthand, but it's an imaginary friend. Why does he always look like a bear? It's lame. It's like
because it's all they could license.
It's just like against the whole premise of imagination and
right.
But this entire time, right, the 15-year-old was just like, "What are you dumb?"
Right.
Like, of course, there's no bear. But now she sees the bear because
which makes you think, "Oh, okay, so it's not." But Chauncey, and it's not.
It's
but then it pans back, and it is
right.
So now it's a real bear that or can the daughters see it now too?
All
or,
three of them, right? In my movie, when you set the beast on fire, nobody sees anything because that thing is gone. But right. It's not gone, and now everybody can see it.
And he can just get out of that world all the time.
So why didn't he always do that?
That's exactly right.
Because he wants to bring you into it.
But also, like from the old lady's theory, the imaginary friend will dissipate as the child gets older, right? As the imagination of the child dwindles.
Well,
right.
the creature, it doesn't. Yes, but the connection separates. The entity is like an actual like demon or whatever, fairy.
But I think that in this situation, like you said, it turned into a cancer because the child was ripped away too early. And it's like, I need more. So this Chauncey Bear turned evil because the child was ripped away. But as these children grow up, it's like Bing Bong, and I will give them credit. That is kind of how Bing Bong worked, right?
Right.
As the child grew up and the imagination starts to pull away, the creature, the imaginary friend, goes away as well. And that's just kind of how it works. It's, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But now, why is this bear already like freaking out at this kid in the end of the movie? He's like, "Chauncey, whatever is
he
it,
just
is hungry."
Moved on to another, or he has a different name, which is fine. I mean, whatever.
It's a bad movie. It's really what movie. I'm trying
hey,
to
also,
say.
Also, I thought it was really funny that Jessica, right, the whole thing is that she has this amazing imagination. He
right,
wants her
right,
even
right.
as an adult. She has writer's block.
That's a great point. That's very true. Like, I can't get past this one thing. I can't even draw. Yeah. I can't even draw.
And she's been doing the same series the whole time, right?
Yeah.
It's not like she has all these different things.
Oh, yeah, and that's the end, is like that they change the perspective of the story and make the spider like, "I've been chasing you because I love you." It's
right.
Like, well, that's not the...
That's not what happened.
And that's a weird message to send to kids.
Exactly yeah.
Right. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Like, that's why, like, Sesame Street got rid of Snuffleupagus, right? Like,
oh, why? Well,
brought him into the real world is because they realized that they had created this ongoing trope of, like, if you tell adults you see something, they won't believe you.
Oh.
And Big Bird's essentially imaginary.
Can I tell you, he was always, to me, like, I watched Sesame Street as a kid. I don't remember that at all.
So he was Snuffleupagus was real, but through through a series of wacky quirks, no one ever would see him except Big Bird. So when Big Bird would tell people, "I have this giant elephant-like
thing,
friend,
woolly mammoth,
called Snuffleupagus," like the adult, like, come see him, and then he would have walked away or something.
Huh.
And so the adults would always be like, okay, Big Bird, sure you do. And so they were like, they didn't want to send the message to kids that, like, adults won't believe you if they don't actually witness something. And
that's
so
crazy.
So they, like, retconned it, and they finally let other people see Snuffleupagus within.
Is that show still on TV? Are they still doing new episodes of that show?
HBO, right?
Yeah, moved to HBO. I don't know if it's going to stay there, because I think it just, that deal just ended, so I don't know. But they were, and then they were, it aired first on HBO and then reruns. There was like a delay, and then it would air on PBS.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's crazy.
So they didn't completely take it away. And I think PBS was still showing
older ones.
Yeah. Older ones. Like, they don't make as many as they used to because they've created so much content.
Sure.
And they're
sure,
really,
sure.
I mean, why? Right, like you're targeting 5-year-olds. They don't know that they're watching something right. that was made 15 years ago.
I mean,
ago.
I was watching all the segments from the '70s,
right?
You know,
oh, yeah,
or
60s.
Yeah,
yeah. Yep. I was too. I mean, no, it was
it
the
was
70s.
Live. Uh-huh. It was live. Yeah. When you were watching it. Yeah, yeah. Right. Right. This is terrible.
What is the message of that though? Too that because right, it's as if she has this revelation.
Yeah.
Oh wow, it was actually, but it wasn't.
No, nope.
It was trying to kill her, eat her up.
Everybody wants that stinger. That stinger right. ending. Mm-hmm. They want that franchise. And even in the nightmare, in all of the slasher flicks, they don't do that. They just mm-hmm. bring him back in the next one, right?
Right. Like right, right.
I think of like Friday 4, where they literally, you watch Jason's head slide down
yeah,
a machete.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't know how you come back from that. Oh, this is how you come back from that. In
lightning.
Part, yeah, right. In part 5.
Ever see Frankenstein part 6?
Part yeah. 6. Sorry. Yeah, it's not
welding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you get to the end. Well, I'm just going to reference. Halloween Ends when she tosses his body into a wood chipper.
Yeah.
And you're like, I have no idea how they're going to. Oh, they're just going to reboot it.
Okay. Reboot it or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
It'll
what
be
I mean?
Something.
Like,
it'll be something.
Wood glue.
Yeah.
It's going to take a long time. They're going to freeze it and like.
Put Dog it, will eat the chunks.
Yeah.
And
he'll,
then,
he'll piss on it or something. I don't know. Where now everybody's, they're like, there's going to be another one. And I was like, no, there's not. There's not.
I can't imagine.
There's going to be another
oh,
one.
I can't imagine.
There's going to be another Megan, right? I think they're working on a Megan 2.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean,
that's
I
not
get that.
Crazy.
You know? But that's Child's Play, right? Where it's the same thing. Same thing in Child's Play. When they throw Chucky yes. into a fan and he gets disintegrated yeah. and they're like, no, we'll just build another one.
Yeah.
And
it'll be like just a soul attached
yeah, right,
to
right, right, right.
a doll.
And this, yeah, this is, it has been a rough few months for moviegoers.
Well, people love Dune.
That's fair. I didn't see it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet.
Did you like the first one?
I thought it was fine. I, so like,
I think you will land in the exact same place on this. I think we're, I think, however you felt about the first one
yeah.
is how you will feel about
I
the second
love,
one. For good or ill, and for most people good, it, I think, does exactly what you want. What the is on par, if not a little better than the first one.
I think Denis Villeneuve.
Sure.
That dude, again, banger after banger. Yeah. Like, that dude was on a run for a long time. And Dune, to me, is like, that's not an original. Like, to me, it's not an original property. You know, like, he's doing somebody else's thing.
Yeah.
At least with Blade, and even Blade Runner. Blade Runner is a property, but he did his own thing with that. And I thought,
I mean, I think you make the argument he did his own thing with Dune.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
okay.
Dune is considered, for years, has been considered an unfilmable novel.
Sure.
And here he's made two of them. So two of them equal the first book.
Right. Don't spoil the next one, because people will get mad about it, apparently.
But, I mean, obviously it's critically and
yeah.
audiences love it, so
it's, you know, you already, I'm already checked out when somebody's like, it's like Empire Strikes Back. I was like, all right, pump the brakes. Like, that's
I'll tell
know.
You for me, I haven't seen either one of them. It looks so visually unappealing to me.
Interesting.
It's just like one cut, it's just brown.
Oh,
it's just
sure,
so
sure.
like
yeah.
drab looking. And I may I from trailers
yeah
I'm just like, how did this,
I mean, Sicario I think is great.
I still haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's really, really good.
Yeah.
Arrival is amazing.
Arrival is good.
Prisoners was insanely good.
Oh, he did, and I love Prisoners.
I know.
I
know.
Love watching him get beat up.
Paul Dano.
Yeah.
Enemy is fine. It's a very weird movie, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But and then you get to these, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
But
and this one is no better. I guess this one's worse. Next week looks fun. I'm looking forward to next week. I think it's that Rose Glass movie with Kristen Stewart.
Oh, Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah, I think that's next week.
Yeah.
Again, it's either
Either that or Arthur the King, so I vote for Love Lies Bleeding.
I hope it's Love Lies Bleeding.
Even though
these both sound too good for me. No, thank you.
You might like Love Lies Bleeding.
I know.
It looks pretty
good. So I don't want to talk. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, it's Ed Harris and Kristen Stewart and the gal that was on Ahsoka. I think.
Gotcha.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah.
I'll watch that in a couple months and then go back and listen to your episode.
And then like message us in real time.
Yes. Right. It's the best.
As if we're doing the show right then and we know what he's referencing.
Like, Matt,
I can't believe Tom said that.
Matt, we did that 2 months ago.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
Just look around, man. Kick over a rock. Roll a stump, I might be there.
You're like love. You're in the air.
Yeah.
And all around.
All around.
If only you open your heart and eyes to see it.
This guy.
That's it.
Yeah. What's that?
That's it.
I don't know.
Oh, you just literally came up with that?
I just riffed that.
Holy.
Well done.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21, also on Letterboxd at the same.
And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom McKeefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Myrtle May has Elwood committed. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.